Could have a go.
Yeah, it were hard to get a chair tonight, weren't it? All people here. So, yeah, my impressions are not the best. I can't do a right good Dave impression.
No. I could do a Scottish accent, but
can you?
Not, you know.
Shall we pretend Phil is here? Do a Scottish accent.
Hello.
Yeah, we're all right. It weren't bad. Steve, obviously. I can't do a Steve impression. Steve's no. Can't do anybody, really. I'm a bit crap.
I'd like to impersonate Dave's laugh, but I don't think it's
going to work. I think we're not going to do any practice. Service, are we?
No, I need to practice. No.
But we'll do more practicing. Anyway, episode 20.2. And the 0.2 will become apparent a bit later on. So, as you may have gathered from our bit of jesting, there's only myself and John here.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, Dave couldn't make it. His lock's broke. Steve's gallivanting somewhere around the world on a boat. And unfortunately, our studio guest, which we did have planned for tonight, which was 8-time world champion kickboxer Liam Harrison, has unfortunately been able to make it today. He was a bit busy on Saturday night. He had a rather large fight and unfortunately couldn't make tonight's show. So we're going to reschedule Liam. So for those tuning in purely for Liam, sorry, but he will be back on. We'll get him on.
I'm going to do a few moves in a bit just to, you know, if that helps.
Yeah, we can do, yeah.
Give an audio visual.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll kick some stuff later for you. But yeah, Liam will be getting rescheduled later on. So if you were tuning in for him, sorry, but he will be back. And obviously we've been away for quite a bit. We did record 2 weeks ago with Barney from All Leeds TV. However, the glitch in the Matrix got back to bite us in the ass again. And unfortunately, the recording was unsavable to an extent. So therefore, if you're listening to this episode, you're going to hear a bit of me and John talking football and Leeds United and all that stuff again. That leads us on perfectly to our Manchester United supporting friend who had a bit of a bit of a maunch after
yesterday's
game.
What a beautiful segment that was. Absolutely. He ticked every box of the typical Manc fan. You know, he looked like one, he sounded like one. And he was absolutely spitting, wasn't he? It was beautiful to watch.
To be honest, today Sky Sports News has been great watching all day with your Jose Mourinho's complaining about how much they celebrated. And then I seem to remember him running all the way down the sideline, David Wagner-esque.
Knee sliding
when Porto knocked Man U out of the cup. But anyway, quite funny. And now there's obviously Watergate going on behind the scenes where somebody's bottled Mikel Arteta, allegedly.
Yeah.
And somebody threw milk on him.
Carton of milk.
Carton of milk, well, yeah. And I think it's all centred around Edison, who was celebrating a little bit too much. But, you know, no use crying over spilt milk.
I do like the idea that they have milk in the changing room. It sort of defeats a few stereotypes.
It's allegedly a very good post-workout drink.
Right.
A milkshake. Right, okay. Low-fat milkshake.
So they've got a milkshake machine as well, do you think?
I'm hoping so. Yeah. They should have there, shouldn't they? That place on the road.
So. I thought they'd just buy them in, wouldn't they?
Did you catch much of a derby?
I did watch all the Man United one, and I saw a bit of the Liverpool one. I thought Liverpool one was a bit low-key, actually, and poor. They should have been ahead comfortably. But Man U were rubbish, absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, City absolutely controlled the game, didn't they? Man U gave little in reply, to be honest. I saw a great little tweet this morning, which is great if you're not a Man U fan, which I'm not, about Lukaku defeating David Blaine's record of 44 hours in a box without doing out. It made me chuckle anyway, and I'm sure it'll make all Leeds fans chuckle. But there was somebody else at that game yesterday as well. Did you hear about
this? I believe so.
Mr. Christensen.
Yeah.
He's had a little bit of pelters on social media for going to Man U.
I think
game.
He took one of his kids, didn't he?
Yeah.
In hospitality, I assume hospitality.
Oh, I don't know. I think it were normal tickets from what I'm led to believe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how true that is, but.
But, you know, I'm pretty relaxed about it, to be honest.
Well, the thing is, I'm taking my son next year to watch Barcelona because I'm going to Spain on holiday.
Yeah.
Technically, TC's working in a foreign country where there's some quite high-profile football going on. Can you really fault him?
On a Sunday when he ain't got a game.
On a Sunday he ain't got a game, and he's not wearing any colours, I didn't see anywhere.
No, he didn't get his tattoos out, did he?
No,
exactly
so. No. So I think we're all safe with that one.
Maybe a misjudgment to have a photo taken with Man United fans, but, you know.
Yeah,
he's just a nice bloke, isn't he, at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Not as bad as the Man U fan I saw doing a selfie with one where Man City players in dugout as well today, so that went down very well. Yeah. That's what happens when you have just tourist-ville inside the ground,
it's a day
which is obviously what happens at Manchester. Anyway, the day before that, though, we had quite a comforting result down at QPR.
Yeah.
So I'm led to believe you saw most of it, John.
I saw most of it, yeah. It was the first half was not great. We started quite well. QPR actually played quite well. They looked quite a neat and tidy side. They created a couple of chances. Smith had a header over the top. and I think Luke Freeman.
Was it Bristol City before?
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, he should have scored that.
He had a great chance. It was a good move, that, as well. So they were cutting through us quite a bit, but we gradually got on top of them. But our passing was really ragged in the first half. Saez had a spell where he just couldn't find a man for the money, you know, and we just weren't getting it together. And Ekiban went off injured. And I wouldn't say we improved straight away from there, but it, you know, Chybicki, you know, suddenly showed us what he's capable of. And second half was all Leeds, really. We sort of, I won't say we ground out the win, but we got on top of them and played some nice stuff, really. And suddenly the quality of passing was tenfold better, you know. We're finding men on the flanks and getting good crosses in, and obviously we've bagged three goals.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of balls getting whipped in from wide positions, I've been critical of our wide players at the time we were struggling with, because we didn't do that.
Yeah.
It was always a cut inside, and then we'd go into traffic and it'd die. But I think delivery for both Roof's goals from wide, both Chipstick and Alioski, would absolutely superb.
I mean, they were good balls. The Alioski one, I think, against a better defence, that, you know, they just had it out. It was a lofted ball from a fairly... fairly distant angle.
It's kind of like fizzing.
I mean, Alioski, he never tries to beat a man, does he? That's the one criticism you can put at him. He never tries to get to the byline. He just lofts the ball in. I think a better centre-half would have probably cleared that. And obviously, you wouldn't expect Roof to get on the end of it, to be honest.
No.
But he did well, you know, don't get me wrong.
So. Yeah, very well. I'm pleased to see Chipstick come on and do a bit, if I'm honest, because he was starting to fall into that category along with Click, that he was never going to get a kick and that he was probably going to move on in January. And I'd seen a few articles saying he might look for a move elsewhere. But, I mean, I didn't catch all the game. I've seen the highlights and I've seen the majority of what I could see on Channel 4 and 5, which was funny seeing the steward's arse hanging out when we scored. But I asked a few people on social media Saturday night what they thought, and a lot of them people were impressed with him. That
he did all right. He's got a bit of pace about him.
Mm.
I mean, to be fair, the two games he has played against Burnley and Leicester, obviously, he's coming to both of them rusty. He's playing against a Premier League team. You know, maybe QPR was a bit more his level, you know, but he put himself about. He used his strength. He put a couple of good crosses in, actually, and obviously one of them we scored from. But the thing is with these players, Click and Chybicki, people are sort of saying, oh, we need to get rid of them. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of money trying to build a decent squad. Not all those players are going to play, so you're always going to have some players on the sidelines who need to show enough to get in the matchday squad. And, you know, obviously we've got injuries and what have you, so that's why Chybicki's on the bench. But yeah, you can't just immediately ask to sell these players just because they're not playing.
And the thing is as well, I think, suddenly, you looked at that team on Saturday when I saw a team come in and thought, oh, not much attacking flair on bench because we're not seeing much of Chybicki. But now you finish the game having won it 3-1, and now you suddenly start thinking, right, well, where does he fit in sort of long term?
Yeah.
Because I think it was Pope who mentioned it in commentary, in playing out on the right as someone that's definitely been worked on when they've seen him training, it's been on the right hand side.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he is our replacement for Alioski when he's not quite at it.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it's still going to take a bit of time to adapt. He's 23 years old, come from Sweden.
Mm.
It's going to take a bit of time to come in round. And, you know, you could say it's good management in a type of view, if you like. The fact that he's not played him a great deal, he's not been around. You don't know what goes on a training ground. That interestingly brings us on to today's news, today being Monday, of the Japanese lad who we've signed, Idiguchi. That's a very interesting one because he's obviously going to come in January for 500k and go straight out on loan.
Yeah.
Now, my first thought was, okay, that it's been rumoured for quite some time. I was very surprised at 500 grand, I'll be honest, because he's been touted in the press over there as being, was he Asia's Young Player of the Year or something?
Yeah.
You know, he's been playing for the Japanese first team, so his kid's got no slouch, he's got some pedigree. 500 grand seems like an absolute snippet.
It does, yeah, particularly like a lot of people have said today, there's a World Cup on the horizon. If he even has one good game, you know, is immediately in the 3-4 million bracket, you know, so... It's pretty smart. I mean, we've also been tracking him for a while. I think they were probably trying to sign him for the now, but the work permit
can't qualify at the moment,
hasn't been sorted out. So he's obviously going to go somewhere to play enough games to qualify. So you know, hopefully that works out for him. I mean, the Japanese season's finished anyway, so he won't be playing anyway at the minute.
Makes good sense then, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, so great stuff. And like I put on Twitter today, I think if people, let's say he does have a great World Cup, just him being in the squad is going to attract better players. But, you know, the way agents work and the network of players all over the world, they'll know about this kid and they'll think, he's going to be there next season. I think I'll have a bit of that, you know. And Leeds is a place that's a club that's going places, so I'll join, I think.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes in January, because I saw some conversations today. Somebody at the door.
Start again.
So, Mr. Adeguchi, anyway, the interesting thing is that I saw muted a few times, so I'm not claiming responsibility for it, is marketing wise as well, it opens us up to a completely new market.
Yeah, I mean, that's what clubs do now. You know, you can't hide from it. That's the reality of it, and it's the right thing to do commercially. You know, so I don't know how big Leeds are in Japan at the minute, but you'd have thought it's probably an untapped territory.
Yeah, I'd imagine
plenty of other clubs have
tried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so and it's certainly a big territory. So yeah, why not?
I think
a bit of that.
The point I was making before we got interrupted was be interested to see where it goes, because I saw some communication on Twitter today about cultural Lyonnais, who we've obviously got this very strange partnership
with. I don't really like to talk about it, do
yeah, it's a bit odd, but they were saying, or one of their fans was saying today, that they can't take another non-EU player on at the moment with the current the current playing squad, so it'd be interesting to see if one of them goes back to Qatar to then facilitate him coming in. But I'm not sure. Haven't we signed them a player as well? We signed them a striker, didn't we? I think.
Yeah, that, was he?
Rodri. Is it Rodri?
Ooh, something like that.
I've just plucked a name from nowhere there.
Yeah.
Probably have.
We've signed that many. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they've looked into it. They'll have enough contacts to find a club where
he
ticks the right boxes and can get enough games to qualify. So,
yeah, I think as well, looking if we're going to bring him in next season and he's going to be a bit of a mainstay, then I think we also need to look at the standard in which he's going to be playing at.
Yeah.
I mean, cultural Lyonnais, I'm not too sure what the standard's like for them guys, but
no.
You know, you'd imagine that'll be another thing that they're thinking of for definite. So, yeah, the other
guy... It needs to be pretty watertight, because you don't want him to go to Inter Milan and absolutely
rip it
to
bits.
Division apart,
that could be a problem.
Everyone's after him. But.
Oh, that could be quite some savvy business if we
signed
him for 500 grand and flogged him for 25 million. That might be interesting. But
I'm sure he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, while we're on the cultural Lyonnais subject, the guy, Usimboy, who we lent...
Wazimboy,
better pronunciation than mine, John. He's not getting a game, is he, at the moment?
No,
he's only played something like... Have I heard something like 40 minutes of football all season or something stupid like that?
Well, that's about as much as he's played in the last 5 years, I think.
Yeah, that's another strange one, that, but...
Yeah, I mean, the rough diamonds, I suppose, and they're just trying to drop lucky on them, but it's an unusual tactic, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely one we're not used to, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not seen it before. So, anyway, back to the green stuff then. So, a good result against QPR and one ultimately... deserved, I think, even though Mr. Holloway weren't too impressed.
Yeah.
He said that Kemar Roofe had never touched ball all game,
apart from
three times he scored.
It's a classic trait of a striker, isn't it? How many games did Ian Rush play where he didn't do a thing and just popped up in the last minute with his big nose and not much one in it, a big back stick with it?
Not so many times for us, though.
No.
My shoe was in his... He was in his twilight at best.
We played him right midfield for starters.
Yeah.
Josh Graham, even.
Yeah.
But strikers aren't there to fanny about with the ball on the wings and stuff. And I thought Roofe had a good game generally, actually. I think Holloway was completely wrong. But disregarding that, you know, if a striker has three significant contributions to any game and his team wins... Even if he doesn't score, he's had a good game.
Yeah,
you know, but
absolutely.
Those three contributions, the goals, and you know, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on.
And the sort of revival. I know we keep talking about the revival. It appears to be quite back on.
Yeah,
in all fairness,
I wrote a piece today about it. To be honest, and the general crux I've found is that things seem to be falling for us now.
Mm.
You know, these fine margins which were going the other way, and at the moment going our way a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I said, at half time, the game was definitely in a balance, but it is a case of who was going to score the first goal. And you could tell QPR's mentality was pretty fragile, you know, and they sort of buckled like we did a few weeks ago, you know. As soon as that first goal
Derby.
Goes in, they're completely
Derby at
done
home for us, weren't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Pretty much any goal, any game where we concede first, you know, we struggled to get back into it. And as soon as we went ahead, you couldn't really see us caving in, apart from in injury time, you know, when we nearly did cave in.
Well, we best talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because last time we got together, when the Gremlins abused the Trustcaster and got rid of it, we went to praise Mr. Wiedwald to an extent for coming off his line. However, this time he came off his line and caught him out. Mm. Now, I've watched it back two or three times and I still can't really decide what's put him off, what's caught his eye.
I mean, it wasn't a difficult bounce.
No.
He wasn't under pressure.
Nobody sort of ran across his eye line that's going to put it.
He just seemed to get scared of the ball.
Yeah.
He just sort of watched it go over
his
head.
But it'd be interesting to actually see what he said, why it happened.
Yeah. I mean, it bounced right in front of
him.
And I suppose you could say the angle of the bounce was a bit deceptive, possibly. Mm. But it was like literally 2 or 3 yards in front of his feet. So he could have quite easily gathered it.
Unless he's lost it in floodlight or something. I know that's an easy excuse for him to have, but I can't honestly think of any other reason why he hadn't come and collected that ball, or at least stayed on his line and collected it. I'm not sure. But what do we do now? Because again, he's back in the firing line.
It won't help him because he generally had a pretty sound game after that. And you know, we're going to mention the save he made a minute later, which was crucial, but only crucial because of the mistake he made to make it crucial. However, he still made the save. You know, it will knock his confidence again. You know, it'll be on his mind.
Mm.
You know, and it affects your defence as well. The defence want to know that they can see that ball floating in and just start running out for a goal kick.
Yeah.
And they can't do that. They're on the toes all the time. So
I've always thought that, how much does it affect the defence? And Gary Neville mentioned it yesterday on Sky Sports about Fabian Barthez. He said he was the best shot stopper he'd ever seen. He says, but he absolutely terrified me whenever the ball went into the box.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he wasn't the tallest, was he?
No, and obviously that must be what it breeds like. But I think the thing is the save after, because at that point we were hanging on a little bit. They were throwing everything at it as they're going to do. But if he hasn't made the mistake 30 seconds before, then that save goes by as a routine save. But in all fairness, it's not a routine save. He's come out and made a very good save there and managed to retain ball as well.
And it's the sort of save we've criticised him for not making, you know, coming out and being brave and just getting in amongst the studs, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you can't criticise him for that. But, yeah, I mean, the balance of the keepers we've got, I would still stick with him, you know. I can't see Christensen dropping him again. But, you know, he needs to go on a decent run of flawless games now for me.
Yeah. Do you think we bring someone in January? Because I don't.
I don't actually think we will, no.
No, I don't.
No, I think that would be an admission that they've made a mistake and, you know, they don't like doing that. He's a work in progress, clearly.
Yeah. And the thing is, after his little dip out of the team, we have seen a few things that have improved. The fact he will now come off his line and attempt to clear the ball at the very least.
Yeah.
Work in progress.
That's something we never really had with Silvestri, you know. He had a similar... It was a similar complaint about him, and he never really improved in that respect. He never came for crosses.
No,
he never really got in amongst the blood and guts of the 6 yard box. You know?
No, definitely.
But so at least he's maybe trying to improve his performance that way. But
I'd definitely agree with that. I mean, what is he, 26, 27, something like that? He's only still young in goalkeeping terms.
Yeah,
so
I'd say 24, 25, maybe.
Bit of time to work on him. And before that, I mean, Villa, I thought he had a reasonably sound game against Villa, in all fairness. I mean, I've got a funny tale about Villa.
Go on.
Obviously, I went to Sheffield and my work's due, didn't I?
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, playing Villa. Well, I expected to bump into loads of Villa fans, but I didn't. But gets off the train, Sheffield train station, says to one of my mates from work, where are we heading? He says, oh, this boo's at Lord Nelson. Oh, okay. Trudges in there, walks in, blade memorabilia everywhere. So I'm okay. Game comes on. I'd had a couple of pints. So I'm stood, leant against a pillar, watching game, being quiet.
Not many Leeds fans in our imagine.
None at all. But one guy at the bar who was a very vivorous Blades fan and was insistent on telling me every story about the scrapes and tussles he'd got in following Sheffield United around. Obviously, still didn't know I was a Leeds fan at this point.
Yeah.
So a lad from work who's a piss-taking merchant at best of times then just spent 40 minutes just pretending that he knew and didn't know the first thing about football and just wrapped this guy up in knots for ages, which were hilarious. So I caught the first, I caught about the first 70 minutes, and then I was forced to move Boozers, which didn't have it on after that. So it was a Twitter following after that. Yeah. Game of two halves. I thought we made Villa look average.
Yeah.
And then after that, they scored and it kind of went away as a contest as such.
Yeah, I think it was a fair result in the end. Mm. I mean, a lot of people were frustrated, and I understand that, because we were in a position to win it. However, you know, Villa were a very good side. You know, there were a lot of players missing, but they still put out a decent team in it. I think, you know, good teams don't play badly for two halves in consecutively, very rarely anyway. So Villa, I thought we were always going to come back at half time and play better, and they did do. Without really, you know, causing us that many problems, but. I think Hernandez going off affected us, didn't it?
Yeah, it did actually, yeah.
And who came on for him? I can't remember now. Probably Rufo, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was Rufo.
And we didn't create a great deal second half, apart from that great ball that Saeed's put in across the box.
Yeah, which we should have scored, in fairness. Alioski's missed it. Ekuban's missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, Ekuban, I kind of want him to find the net, because the longer he doesn't, and he's had a couple of decent chances, and the longer he doesn't, it'll start to.
You know, you're looking at three goals Roof scored on Saturday. I'm not sure he'd have scored any of them. And I don't know what makes me think that, because I've not seen enough of him. But, you know, he just doesn't seem to have that sharpness in front of goal.
No, I'm pinged with his link-up play is fantastic. His effort's fantastic. Can't be faulted. But I'm also pinged with he's trying a little bit too hard to score.
Yeah.
Like the Barnsley chance when he's... Yeah. He's got a chance to hit it, and he's just waited a second, and then he's inside netting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a little bit that it's playing on his mind a little bit that he hasn't scored or what.
It's bound to, yeah.
But
it's bound to.
But in the case of Kemar Roof, we've got an able deputy by the looks of things, and with Ekuban, it looks like he may have antagonised the previous injury.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. I mean, it's one of them. You never get the truth about injuries until they've been out about 6 weeks.
Particularly not at Leeds now, anyway.
And then you work it out. Yeah, the Lasoga thing. I mean, God knows what's going on with Lasoga.
I mean, he missed his first game through illness. Then there was mention of a calf strain. Yeah. Then there was rumours in some quarters that he might never play for us again. And
training fully last week.
Yeah.
But he didn't play on Saturday. But
and interestingly, whenever there's any footage from Thorpe Archer, he doesn't appear to be on it.
Yeah.
If you read it's that very, deep into things like I do.
Very interesting. Oh yeah, I mean yeah. When players are injured, they normally wheel them out to hospitals for visits and stuff like this, you know, because they're not doing anything else. So let's see if he's on there.
Unless they're sending him back to spend time with his family, baby. I'm not sure, but I think January will be interesting in terms of. I don't think we'll do a massive amount of business, if I'm really honest.
No.
But I'd be very interested to see what happens with Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, and I'd be very interested to see what happens with Lasoga if he's not already back in and around the team by that point.
Yeah. I have a feeling, I think we'd maybe go for another striker anyway, particularly if Ekuban's, you know, struggling fitness-wise.
Broke his foot again.
But yeah, the Lasoga situation is, you know, we were warned about his temperament a little bit, weren't we? So let's see what's happened there.
Yeah, but, definitely.
The first few weeks of him in the team obviously was trouble-free, you know.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen of Ekuban, don't get me wrong, but I think you do need strikers that score goals, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there's only so long you can put up with a striker who just works really hard and never scores, like Steve Morrison.
You know, the shift, are you saying we've got the shift part two?
Well, I think it brings a bit more than the shift.
Yeah, but I agree.
You know, there's going to be a game sooner or later. Unfortunately, he's injured now, but there would have been a game where Ekuban didn't score, we were struggling, we were frustrated, and everyone's saying, well, we've had enough of the Ekuban experiment.
Yeah, let's get
somebody else. Let's get someone who can score goals.
I think the thing is, though, with January, it's a terrible market. It gets mentioned millions of times because it relies on a domino effect and blah-de-blah-de-blah. So it'll be interesting, definitely, but I don't think there'll be wholesale changes like I've seen shouted out from some angles. I definitely think we'll look at the left-back position because that appears to be the troubled position. When we went on the bad run, that's where we were easily got at.
Yeah.
The striking position, I'm not so sure, you know. I don't even think we'd get what we want Jack, if that makes any sense. Not in terms of we're not trying to do it. I just don't think we get what we need. And to be honest, there's a lot of teams in a similar position. QPR being one of them.
But I'm also more confident that we've got people looking out there. In the right areas and with a bit of nous and that doesn't necessarily need a lot of money thrown at it. So you know, I think the scouting network and the recruitment generally is is probably, you know, a bit more professional than it is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, point in case is Samuel Saiz. That's the go-to one every time.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said before, you know, I know we've not seen much of Click and Chybicki, but, you know, we've been crying out for a squad of people who have a decent standard. And, people like Grot have got a lot of developing to do. And you know, Lusaga's not exactly a world beater, but you know they are better players than we've had in reserve recently. So
yeah, exactly,
you know,
you've
got to give them time. But I think generally wise, I think the striker and a left back, I can't see much more than that.
I completely agree. Yeah. We can't afford to sign any more central midfielders. We've got about 500.
No, and I don't think we need to.
No, Phillips and Vieira, I think, have been superb in there, keeping out Union O'Kane at the moment, which is, he's struggling with injuries, I think, at minute. He's had that hip problem.
Yeah.
Obviously, came off at Barnsley, didn't he? Was a bit of a dicky hip, said he couldn't run. Yeah. He mouthed it on telly, and it was very clear what he was saying to his teammate. My hip, I can't seem to run.
I still think Click has got a part to play. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, history is littered with players who've taken a few months to make an impact at a club. You know, whether it's his fault, whether it's injuries, whether they've fallen out, I don't know. But you know, there'll come a time where we'll need him. He'll come and have a decent game.
Yeah, the only interesting bit for me with Click and Chipstick and Grot up until recently is, They obviously look like they need games, and they look like they need, so why are they not featuring for under 23s?
Yeah, well, I've written a square ball piece about exactly this.
Okay.
Out on Saturday, I believe.
Good plug, John.
Yeah, timely. Thanks for asking that question.
It's all right, mate. I chucked it in there.
But yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, the under 23s is viewed, I think, by the club as a bit of a finishing school for the under 18s. You know, it's a vehicle for them to step up a little bit, but at the same time, the step up from the under 23s to the first team is arguably bigger than it was, and the whole reason the under 23s were brought in was to do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, to make that age gap a little bit. You allow three overage players in an under 23s team, outfield players plus one overage keeper.
Right.
So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities. I mean, Grot, for example.
He's only 19 anyway.
Exactly.
So
where do we intend to develop this guy if it's not in the under-23s? So you can't, if he's just coming on for 10 minutes at the end of a home defeat to Reading, you know, he's not going to learn a great deal from that. So, and Chybicki and Click are perfect examples, both with Jackson. Shaughnessy's not playing a lot of the minute. He's under 20, you know, let's stick him in there. But, I mean, I suppose Shaughnessy is the only example of a player who has come through that route, actually.
Yeah. A little bit surprisingly as well, let's be honest. It weren't the one that in pre-season, this kid, Shaughnessy, it weren't what he just started. He was training with first team, then he played in pre-season. And in fairness to him, when
thought
he came
nothing
in,
of it,
centre-back, even though he's a central midfielder, he's coming at centre-back, he's been solid. Yeah. I can't remember the game at Elland Road. He played at side of Cooper and had a decent game. I can't remember. It might be Fulham. Last-ditch tackle, chasing back up at the south stand end. And he hadn't looked out of place. I'm not overly enamoured with him as a central midfielder when he came on at Barnsley, to be honest.
No, he did a job, but no more than that. I think we lost the impetus a bit when he came on, but, you know, it's not a criticism.
No, definitely not.
I think he's found his niche in the team.
Yeah, definitely.
But he needs games, you know.
He
needs to be playing.
So. Yeah, that's one thing that's sort of wrangled a little bit. I think, why aren't we playing these under 23s?
Yeah.
Obviously, a bit more news since we were last together. This young lad, Jack Clark, the starlet that's been mentioned. He's obviously signed a pro contract.
Yeah.
And I think Christensen mentioned he wanted to play him against Leicester. But
yeah,
because
that was interesting.
Because he weren't signed up to a pro deal, he didn't want to risk.
He scored about a dozen goals in the under 18s, I noticed. Who haven't been winning a lot of games, you know, they've been a bit inconsistent. But he's started playing some games for the under-23s, I believe.
Yeah, well, when he signed his contract, he played for 18s in the FA Youth Cup against Burnley.
That's right, on
LUTV, and I caught about 20, 25 minutes of it. Not long enough to form any sort of opinion, but it's nice to hear about, you know, players sort of coming through still.
We signed that kid from York as well.
Yeah.
Ryan Edmondson.
Yeah.
How we got born. So he's a local guy. He's a Leeds fan. Mm. He's only 16. So
I'm led to believe that's spawned some sort of partnership with York as well.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
Kit Kat Crescent.
Yeah, it's not Kit Kat Crescent anymore.
Is it not? No, apparently not. I was hoping we get some Kit Kats out.
Well, yeah, I did. We'll ask Chris. Chris will know all about Kit Kat Crescent.
Yeah.
Let's do a bit of that. So, So on the field stuff, it's, you know, like we said, I think you said before Villa, don't lose.
Yeah, that was the important. I mean, Villa was an acid test, wasn't it? I think. I mean,
yeah.
Going back further, I think we set a standard against Middlesbrough with that win. The Wolves game, you know, you could almost write it off because they were so good.
Mm.
The Barnsley game, you can almost write it off because they were so bad.
And continuing to be bad as
yeah,
well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the Villa game was the one where you thought, right, this is going to tell us where we are.
Mm.
And like I said, I think it said to us, there's a lot in here, just don't lose it. You know, let's draw a game at least.
And I think Christensen said after as well that we'd have lost that game.
Yeah,
a few weeks before, so it's showing change. And I mean, even QPR, let's be honest, they've been struggling, but they came from two goals behind against Bristol City the other week to draw 2-2. So, you know, they're not a slouch. They've got Ian Holloway, who's been in these positions before.
We've shown we're capable of losing to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
let's be honest. But the defence does look a bit more organised.
Mm.
That's going to happen over a season.
We've got the real Pontus back as well, not that body double one.
So,
the one that's horrible again, that's coming and wants to win ball
but
plays football as well. We kind of, I don't know what was wrong with him early on its season, but he probably doesn't know himself. It might just be a phase again. He's still only young, in all fairness to him. But, yeah, just looks a different player again now. He's got that bit more of an edge to him and he's doing the right things, whereas before sometimes his decision-making weren't the greatest. And we've seen him score against Villa as well, which was nice.
Was nice,
So, everything's starting to look a bit brighter again after the doom and gloom. So we move on to Norwich on Saturday.
Yeah,
they can't buy a win away from home.
No.
But beat Wednesday on weekend.
Yeah, well, that was
home.
The first win at home for a while as well, wasn't it, I think. Mm. So, who's their manager? Is it Conan the Barbarian or something?
Yeah.
Who was it? I can't remember his name.
No, I can't remember his
name. They're clearly struggling a bit.
I can see him as a strange-looking character.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their side now and you think, I mean, they've deteriorated quite significantly.
Yeah, and they've got some money in that team as well. Alex Pritchard himself for £8 million, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw the highlights of the Wednesday game and you look at the crowd and the crowd's looking a bit sparse, and Norwich always used to get a full house. I know it's only 25,000 or whatever it is, but... You know, that you could see they're a bit of a club on the slide. So
I mean, looking at their team here, Daniel Fark is their manager.
Oh yeah.
The first three that pop up: Wes Houlihan, probably at the twilight of his career now.
Yeah.
Nelson Oliveira, big fan of Nelson Oliveira.
Yeah,
I think he's a cracking player. Stephen Naismith playing in Premier League last year for Everton.
I don't think he played on the weekend. I think against Wednesday.
I don't think he did. Alex Tetti played for them in Prem.
Yeah.
Cameron Jerome, long time. Paid in our backside for whoever he's played for. You know, Alex Pritchard that we talk about.
Yeah, I'd have had him a few years ago, definitely.
Matt Jarvis is there as well, believe it or not. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a name for the past.
Not enough, yeah. And Angus Gunn, who's obviously Brian Gunn's son. So, they're no slouches, but again, like I said, can't buy a win. And
well, I wonder if some of them are injured, because I'll have to look at their side against Wednesday, because it looked a bit very...
Yeah, it didn't look like that, did it?
Having said that, they won 3-1, so...
Oops.
It's there for the taking, isn't it? Yeah, we should be winning that game.
Yeah,
let's
think,
be honest.
I think Wednesday are another team, though, that have got some problems going on.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Did you see their manager? I don't think it was post Norwich.
It was after the drew against Hull.
Wow, that looked like a man who's on the precipice of jumping off. He didn't look happy at all. It was a real Ed Gunn moment.
His lip was quivering, wasn't it?
He didn't look too impressed, bless him. But, obviously...
He does seem easily rattled, though, to be honest.
Yeah, he ripped a tenner up in one press conference
and then
opened it up again and said, it's still a tenner. Well, it's not a white rabbit, come on.
Yeah.
You're not a magician, football manager. Yeah. Obviously, I work with quite a lot of Owls fans, sadly, and a couple of Blades, and the wheels appear from the fan base to have fallen off the Sheffield Wednesday promotion train. Carlos don't have a dream anymore.
He has
nightmares.
He's woken up.
And the Blades as well, they're slipping up recently.
Yeah. I mean, they were incredibly unlucky on Friday. I watched that
game.
Again, it was amusing to watch, really, because, you could sort of sense that Bristol City were going to rob it at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
When they got their kid sent off.
That first goal was a worldie, by the way.
Yeah, well, all three goals were good, actually, from both sides. But, yeah, they've lost 4 out of 5, I believe, now.
Yeah.
But they still look a good side. I mean, that was a really, really good game, actually, that one, because both sides were really went for it. But, yeah, Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, if they're tumbling down the table, then it's never,
I think,
a bad thing.
I think Sheffield Wednesday have lost a few key players to injury. I mean, that Coots has broke his leg, and then they've lost Fleck to a red card as well. And I think them two in their sort of engine room made them tick a little bit. And they've lost that now. And I've even saw the young lad Brooks getting some pelters in some areas as well. But we all have these blips, and it's how you recover from them blips. So but the only
they've not had one, have they, under that manager? No. That tore division apart last season as soon as he came in.
Yeah,
and this is the first blip they've had, really.
Yeah, so. I know a kid who's play for Wilder at, I think, Matlock Town or something like that, and he says he is no slouch. He says he will absolutely give them hell for the performance. Like he only accepts 100%, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Only team who don't appear to be having a blip nor are going to have one. Wolves, they're just brushing aside sort of everything in front of them. But if you spend £57 million on signings, you're expected to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, we kind of recapped the Championship there really quickly.
But anyway, Norwich should beat them.
Yeah, Norwich should beat them. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And then after that, I can't exactly
remember. It's lovely. Well, we've got Hull at home after that. It's lovely to have two home games in consecutive weekends. Yeah. It doesn't often happen on a Saturday at 3 p.m. on the lead up to Christmas as well. So I'm really looking forward to them. Hull, I mean, again, they've got a new manager. They won on Saturday. That wasn't straightforward win, I don't think. But again, I don't think they're doing a great deal away from home. So it's there for the taking. And, you know, you'd like to think we'd get maximum points, but it doesn't always work like that. Certainly not with Leeds. So,
no, and then after that,
let's just take it one game at a time.
After that, on the 30th, we've got Birmingham at St Andrews, and again, they don't look.
There's Burton on Boxing Day as well.
Oh, sorry, Burton on Boxing Day, and then Birmingham. But again, Birmingham don't look like they can buy a win at minute.
No.
They look very, very struggling. Yeah. So, but take every game as it comes, see how it goes, and we'll sort of ultimately take it from there.
And what was nice about Saturday's win, just backtracking a little bit, is that we had a few players missing, and we coped with it.
Yeah.
You know, we got new players in, and you know, gave them a bit of game time, and it all worked out nicely. So it never hurts, and you know, it shows what you've got in reserve, basically.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to come Saturday how he lines them up now.
I'd always like to see Hernandez play at home.
Yeah, if he's fit. I mean, as good as Chipstick was, maybe he still needs a bit more time just to break in before he starts. But yeah, I think Roof cemented. He's got to start up front. I think.
If Eki Van Broek broke his
foot anyway, so.
But I mean, you know, I've been critical of Roof. I don't. He's clearly a central player.
Yeah.
And I think there's enough evidence now to say he's possibly first choice striker.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
There's still going to be some games I don't think he's suited to, but you know, we have to think about that. But I mean, Chibitzky can play centrally as well.
Yeah,
he played
for Sweden in Euros.
So that might come into play, but. Yeah, I can't see him changing too much from the game team that finished, apart from Hernandez for Chibitzky.
I think even in the games, though, when Roof played up top, when he didn't get a goal, he brings something different. He brings that work rate. And I got asked on Made in Leeds what my thoughts were on the Ekuban Roof Lasoga thing. And I thought that the way that Ekuban and Roof play in terms of they give defenders something to think about because they're always on the move. Roof has an habit of he'll drift wide. And you can see the centre half's feeling uncomfortable because he's, do I give him to left back? Do I go with him?
Yeah.
And then he'll boss back inside. And you can see that both him and Ekuban just purely his work rate, give him something else to think about. Whereas the criticism aimed at Lasoga, which has been one we've seen and one we've struggled, is easy to mark because he stands still. And he's not strong. He's not, or he doesn't appear to be for a guy of his stature. He's not strong. He doesn't hold it up very well. His link up's good, or it were when he first came, but we haven't seen enough of it. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're probably right in terms of Roof's probably the number one with the way that we're playing the game at the minute.
Yeah, he definitely is at the minute, I think. I mean, it brings a bigger onus on the supporting three behind him, I think, when Roof plays, because he hasn't got that physical strength and he's not going to hold it up as well.
No.
So you have to sort of build through the team a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And Roof is obviously one of those strikers who plays on the edge of the last defender.
Yeah.
You know, and he tries to make runs through him. And it, but at the end of the day, he showed that if we get crosses in the box, then
he can score.
He can cause some damage, definitely. Yeah, so fair play.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I had something else I was going to mention then, but I've completely forgotten.
Oh, when he fell over, celebrating.
Yeah, when he fell over, that was hilarious. Yeah, even mentioned it after. Did you see the goal before when Chipstick went to celebrate with Roof? And then the rest of the players come bouncing in, and Chipstick was trying his very hardest not to fall into the Leeds fans behind the goal. Yeah. And you could see he looked a bit scared that if these get hold of me, I might not come back out again. Yeah. So that made me chuckle slightly. But
yeah, welcome to Leeds.
Alioski, welcome back, Mr. Alioski, the player that we saw early on in the season now.
He seems to have got a bit more confidence. Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I'd still like to see him take on
a defender
a bit more, yeah. But you can't criticise when he's producing decent
passes. I think the thing is as well, we're not seeing him rolling around up floor and complaining that he's not getting free kicks as much now as well. He's getting up and getting on with it. And same from Saez as well, to be honest, because they were both a bit guilty at times of throwing the floor. What do you mean I'm not getting up? Sit around for a little bit, complain for it. But by that time, we're up against it. So all in all, things are looking quite good at the moment.
It'd be foolish to complain about Saturday's game, really. I mean, it wasn't perfect by any means, but you know, it was a game that was there to be won, and we did.
Yeah.
Fair play.
No, completely agree with that. So we've kind of done the green stuff.
Yeah.
And normally at this point we'd cast over to the rest of our studio audience, but because there's only me and you, we can't do that. So we'll go for a bit of trust news. So the 15th, which this should be out by, is the deadline for the board nominations.
Yes.
If you've got your hat in the ring, if you've bought yourself a ticket, all them other crap analogies, you'll find out on the 15th if you've been successful or if it's going to a big vote. Mm. So a bit of that. And then the Christmas fundraiser, which John will be sick of hearing about because it's all I've ever messaged him about for the last week. So, on the 19th of December, ourselves, the Trust, are going to...
quite soon.
Very, very soon. Yeah. It's a week on Tuesday.
Yes.
So, a week tomorrow.
Today will be Monday.
Yes. We're going to take on a team from Leeds United in a quiz, basically. And ultimately, this is all in aid of the Leeds United Foundation, raising some money for the foundation in the run-up to Christmas. And sort of helping them back their community projects and stuff like that. And ultimately, a bit of fun. So, got myself and Tom Kerwin as quiz masters, me asking the questions to Leeds United and Tom asking the questions to the Trust. I've also got Big Lee Nicholson, who does the match day sort of presented on the field. He's going to sort of oversee the entire event, and he'll sound a lot better than me saying so and a lot. He's going to come in there. We're going to have, I think I can drop the exclusive now, John, to be honest.
About the
Leeds team, yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
So, Managing Director Angus Kinnear will be on the team. Eddie Gray.
Oh.
So, already we're transcending a few eras here, so we're going to have to be on our ball. And then first team players Andy Lonergan and Eunan O'Kane are going to finish off making the team. So, so we're just going to go full general knowledge. No, hopefully we can out-general them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't think their Leeds United knowledge will be that hot, to be quite honest.
Eddie's might be pretty good. But,
I think there's some flaws in that team.
And from our team, it's John, yourself, obviously.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you're in. Yep. You made the cut. Rob Endicott.
Yep.
And then Trust member Paul Kent and the last
Steve.
One.
Steve.
Board member Steve. So that makes up our team. It's not just going to be a quiz. If you come down and get involved, you can also win some prizes that we've had exclusively given to us by the club. And I'm just going to get up on my phone here. There's some beauties. There's a 2 hospitality passes for the Norman Hunter Suite for the Millwall game on the 20th of January next year. There's a chance for 2 people to spend a behind the scenes day with LUTV on a match day at Elland Road.
That'd be ace.
3x2 tickets for the stadium tour of Elland Road. Exclusive Leeds United goodie bags and 6 £10 vouchers for shop. Also, there'll be some Trust stuff as well. We're hoping to get some mugs and maybe some Trust clobber to hopefully distribute on the night. But everyone's a winner. £10.
And there's a pint piece supper.
And a
fee, not a free bar.
Not a free,
it?
No, don't.
Not a free bar,
not
sorry.
Not free bar.
Edit that out. Not a free bar. The bar is open.
Yeah, but not free. So yeah, pint piece supper. £10 for adults, £5 for kids. If you're a season ticket holder or a membership, you get 10% discount. It's from about 7:30 till 10:30 at Norman Hunter Suites.
I believe there is an opportunity for Q&A with the Leeds United team.
There is indeed.
The 4 members of. You can ask us questions as well if you want.
You probably don't want to.
I'll be available, but I'll probably be at the bar. But you can ask me a question at the bar.
Yeah,
by all
definitely.
Means.
So yeah,
like, what do I want to drink?
You can buy your tickets from the official website on under events. It's called A Question of Leeds.
Yeah,
we did try and change it because we realised that our friends at BBC Radio Leeds did A Question of West Yorkshire Sport Daily just before us, but it was a bit too late to change it. So that's how it is. So yeah, definitely get behind it. £10 a snip, and if you don't like listening to us boring or you don't like quizzes, just think it's going to be a foundation which does a lot of good stuff for kids and veterans and various other things. So.
Yeah,
get behind it.
It'll be a good night. I think it's not just a boring old pub quiz. There's quite a few different rounds. There's like video rounds. LUTV are doing quite a big job for it, really. Putting loads of like what happened next kind of things.
So I'll give you a quick exclusive.
Yeah, go on.
Here we go. Oh, I won't. So I've looked at the wrong thing. But yeah, like John said, there's a spot the ball round.
Yeah.
There's some sort of question of sport-esque rounds where you can pick easy questions home or away, but they're going to be called something different with your Leeds United theme.
Yeah.
Then there's a what happened next, and then there's a little bit of Leeds players describing a teammate. You've got to guess who the teammate is.
Yeah.
So yeah, a bit of a mixture for everybody. Kids and everybody welcome. It'll be a family event.
Is it right? I think all people in the audience can do the quiz as well at the same time. So
yeah, that's the idea. I've got a big meeting tomorrow, but we're not too sure exactly how the prizes are going to work around that side of things. But yeah, we're hoping to make it interactive, to make it a bit more fun. And you know, and I'm sure at end there'll be time for photos with me and John or Andy Lonergan and Eunan O'Kane, depending on your persuasion.
Yeah.
But yeah, come down before Christmas. Be nice to see loads of Trust members down there with the Trust badges, which brings me on lovingly. Saturday night, went to my lads' Christmas football do thing with Bob. Stood waiting for Buffett, and I turned around to be greeted by a Trust badge.
Oh, in Barnsley.
Guy directly behind me. No, Wakefield. Nostal, actually. So,
well.
Yeah, a bit disappointed I didn't know who I were. You know, I don't know. Don't think he listens to the podcast. A bit disappointed.
Well, you know.
But yeah,
untapped territory.
Yeah, we'll get there. We've still got to branch out to Wakefield, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But have they got
got Wi Fi, I think. Got Wi-Fi, I think, over there now, definitely. But yeah, lovely neck of woods. Anyway, so that brings us to an end of 20.2. Like I said, come New Year, we'll get Liam Harrison back on. We've got a few more guests lined up in the pipeline. James Brown from TalkSport fame and big Leeds fan.
Yep.
We've also got Richard Creswell lined up.
Yep.
Former Leeds striker. Rich to his mates, not Krezza. Can't call him Krezza.
Nope.
And a few others. But I've got irons in fires at the moment. I can't announce them just yet. So thanks again for listening to me and John and rest of... Oh, there's nobody else here. Just me and John.
Sorry about all the echoey silence around us.
But, yeah. And I'll delete out the... 4 minutes of clattering and banging when we had to swap what my mixing desk was sat on for what the guy wanted who came in.
It's all professionally done.
Very, very professional. Not ad hoc at all. So hopefully see you down at A Question of Leeds. If not, why not? So that leads us to one thing and one thing only. I'll see thee.
See thee. Just dream.